Have you ever thought about saliva? Most of us probably haven't, but it's more than just a fluid in your mouth, much more. Join us as we unravel the incredible science and surprising secrets behind this often overlooked bodily fluid. From its role in digestion to its potential as a diagnostic tool, don't miss out on this fascinating journey into the world of spit. I'm Professor Megan.
I'm Professor Susan, and we're
your nutrition profs.
We are registered dietitians and college professors who have taught more than 10,000 students about health and nutrition. We have answered a lot of questions about nutrition over the years.
Some questions we get asked every year, and some are rarely asked, but very interesting.
We are here to share our answers to these common and uncommon nutrition questions with you.
So bring your curiosity and let's get started.
Welcome to our class.
Welcome, everybody. We are so happy that you decided to join us.
Our listeners really are the best.
Thanks for your continued support. Today, we're answering a question that came from a listener in New Mexico, and she asked, "What's so great about spit?"
That is such an interesting question. Spit or saliva is one of those bodily secretions that really is taken for granted, but it is such an important and fascinating substance.
I mean, think about all of the things we use spit for. Many people believe it has healing properties, right? I mean, if you cut your finger, what do? You stick it in your mouth immediately in an attempt to stop the bleeding and to heal the cut.
I know. It's used as a cleaning solution too. Just ask any kid whose mom has dipped the tip of a tissue into their mouth and used it to clean a dirty face.
My mom would do that sometimes. And not just moms use it. Some artists use spit to clean paintings, and it does seem to be very effective.
We know that some of you out there may be a bit grossed out by spit or are anti-spit, but maybe we can change your mind after hearing this episode.
Because spit is amazing.
Saliva is a thick, colorless, opalescent fluid with a constant presence and is sometimes called the bloodstream of the mouth. Without saliva, getting food from the mouth to the stomach would be nearly impossible.
Humans have up to 1,000 salivary glands that produce 1 to 2 liters of saliva every day, almost all of it while we're awake. Think of a 2-liter bottle of soda in the grocery store. That's about how much spit you make.
That's a bit.
Every day.
Wow.
I mean, if you add that all up, it's 23,000 liters in your lifetime, or more than 6,000 gallons.
Oh my gosh, that's enough to fill an above ground swimming pool 15 feet in diameter.
Well, that is a lot of spit.
And each drop of saliva contains a complete set of your genes, which is really, really cool.
Right. I mean, we spit into containers when you have your genes tested. Like for your ancestry or for nutritional genomics, anything like that.
Well, let's start by talking about the salivary glands. As we mentioned, we have about 1,000 of them, and all of them are made of fat and tiny cells that secrete fluids called acini.
Most of these glands are pretty tiny, only about 2 millimeters in size. That's about the size of a pinhead. But a few are quite large. And here is a fun fact. They don't all secrete the same type of saliva.
Wow. Some of the larger glands include 2 that are under either side of your tongue, under the mouth floor. These are called sublingual, and each is about the size of an almond. These sublingual glands secrete saliva that is thick, like mucus.
Another set of these larger glands is located below the jaw, and these are called submandibular or submaxillary. The saliva enters the mouth from underneath the tongue. The 2 submandibular glands together are about the size of a walnut, and the saliva they secrete is considered mixed. It's mucousy, but it's also watery.
But the largest salivary glands by far are the parotid glands. These are located just in front of the ears, so basically your cheeks. Each parotid gland is slightly smaller in size than your ear.
And these parotid glands are what Mary Roach, author of the book Gulp, calls, quote, our faithful servants. Whatever you decide to eat, boss, I will help you get it down, end quote.
That is such a great book.
It is.
The saliva secreted from these glands is very watery. It enters the mouth from small ducts near your upper molars. The parotid glands provide about 70 to 90% of the 1 to 2 liters of saliva that we make every day.
You know, that Gulp book is really good, and we'll link it in our show notes.
She's got some other good books.
She does. She's an excellent writer.
But getting back to saliva, the autonomic nervous system controls the volume and type of saliva that you secrete. And saliva secretion is activated by chewing, smelling, even tasting food in your mouth.
Think Pavlov's dog. I mean, the presence of food or just thoughts or smell of food increases salivary secretions.
And here's another fun fact about saliva and dogs. The saliva that they create differs based on the type of diet that they eat. So dogs who are fed dry food produce more watery saliva. Dogs on meat-based diets make saliva that is thicker and stringier, so more like mucus.
That's so interesting. I mean, I love dogs, so any dog-based fun fact always gets my attention.
Me too. And then another fact, have you heard that dogs' mouths are cleaner than humans?
I have heard that.
I remember hearing that too as a kid. Unfortunately, that's not true.
Oh, that's interesting. But of course, good oral hygiene is important for dogs and for people.
Yes.
That, along with hydration and not smoking, can help keep our mouths and our salivary glands healthy.
Excellent advice.
Saliva has so many important functions. There are the obvious ones like lubrication of the mouth and throat and moistening of food to help with swallowing and washing away food and debris from the teeth and the gums.
But it also enhances our ability to taste. Saliva spreads what are called tastants around the mouth and to the taste buds so that you can enjoy all of the different flavors in a food. We're actually going to be doing an episode soon about how we actually taste things, so stay tuned.
That'll be a good one. Saliva is also a disease fighter. It provides antibodies to prevent and fight infections. I mean, have you ever noticed how quickly a sore in your mouth heals compared to sores elsewhere in your body?
That is so true. Like when you bite the inside of your cheek and it feels terrible for a few hours, but by the next day or even that night, you don't notice it anymore. That's due to saliva. It's so cool.
It's also why we put our cut fingers into our mouths to aid in healing. And guess what? It actually works. Saliva has been used for centuries for healing and not just for humans. I mean, animal wounds heal faster if the animal is allowed to lick them, but only within reason. Like excessive licking, that can lead to irritation and apparently only protects against a few types of bacteria.
Saliva also helps our teeth in several ways. One thing it does is it protects our teeth from each other. Teeth are the hardest substance in the body. Saliva coats our teeth, and without spit, our teeth would grind against one another, which could cause wear and tear and damage. It could even ground them down prematurely.
I really never thought about that, but it's so true.
I know. Saliva also helps keep the surface of your teeth, the enamel, strong. When we consume foods or beverages that are more acidic, foods like citrus fruits, juices, wine, soda, the acid can pull minerals from your tooth enamel, and this can lead to tooth sensitivity, and it can open the door to cavities and tooth decay.
Saliva from the parotid glands comes to the rescue. The help is actually immediate. Saliva neutralizes acid to minimize the mineral loss. It recoats your teeth with minerals like calcium, fluoride, and phosphate ions, which can also help to replenish the tooth surface.
Saliva secretion is also increased when we eat things that our body perceives as harmful, like spicy food. So again, saliva to the rescue. And we're going to be talking more about this in an episode coming in a few weeks.
That will be a good one too.
Another benefit of saliva is that it helps with digestion. Food digestion begins as soon as food enters your mouth. Saliva contains digestive enzymes like amylase, which help us to break down starches. So if you put a piece of bread in your mouth, you'll notice it immediately begins to fall apart or kind of dissolve. Well, that's the amylase in the saliva breaking apart the starch molecules in the bread.
On the other hand, if you put a piece of steak into your mouth and just left it there, I know it's kind of gross to think about it, but it won't really change much, right? It doesn't begin to dissolve like bread does. And that's because steak doesn't contain starch, so the amylase doesn't have any starch to split apart.
Another enzyme in saliva is lipase, which helps us split apart fats specifically. The levels of salivary lipase are high in infants since their diets are very high in fat. But as we age, our levels decline. So by the time we're adults, the levels of lipase in our saliva are actually quite low.
Saliva also helps control the levels of microbes that live in our mouth. I mean, we've talked about the gut microbiome several times on this podcast.
Many times.
But we also have an oral microbiome. It's rich in antimicrobial agents like hydrogen peroxide, lactoferrin, and lysosomes, which are part of the immune system.
Think about it. Your mouth is open to outside pathogens through what we eat, drink, and breathe. Without saliva, we become more vulnerable to letting these bad bugs enter and take hold in our bodies, which can lead to infections.
And saliva is a great cleanser. Moms and artists, we talked about them before, they use it to remove dust, dirt, and grime from faces and paintings. Those enzymes that help us digest starches and fats, the amylase and the lipase, they can also break down these substances in dirt and grime, which makes them easier to remove.
Yeah, the slight acidity of saliva also provides some cleaning properties. Many people clean their homes with vinegar, which is also acidic.
I mean, we're not recommending that you lick your countertops.
Absolutely not.
That would be wrong on so many levels.
Well, saliva has so many more beneficial functions than most people think. Too bad we can't bottle it and sell it. So have we convinced you yet that saliva is great?
I'm convinced. So if saliva is so amazing, why is there such an ick factor associated with it? I mean, we definitely don't go around sharing our spit with just anyone.
Right. Basically, family members and intimate partners. That's it.
I mean, we recoil from other people's spit and from our own. Once it's left your mouth, I mean, if you spit into a cup, would you drink it later on?
Again, absolutely not. Unless I had like a really good reason to.
I can't think of what that reason might be.
No, I can't either.
And you know, you never want to make a server angry at a restaurant because we'll soon be like, oh, they're going to spit in our food. So that's definitely a bad thing.
But in some cultures, spit is actually considered lucky or protective. Roman Catholic priests used to baptize with spit instead of water based on a passage in the Gospel of Mark, the Bible, where Jesus mixed dirt with his spit and rubbed it on a blind man's eyes, and then he could see.
Amazing. And the Greeks often spit on things they wish to protect from the evil eye or that they want to bless for good luck. I mean, now it's less actual spit and more like the pantomime of spitting, kind of the I can't do it.
Yeah.
But, and that provides luck, supposedly.
Probably a good idea.
So if a Greek spits on you, that's lucky. Good to know.
Good to know. All right. Well, as long as our salivary system is working normally, we just take it for granted, which is true with many things.
Right.
But if there are problems with this system, we definitely know about it.
Yeah. Now, one of these problems is hypersalivation or excessive drooling. The sciencey word for this is sialorrhea. There are two types. There's anterior, which is the forward spillage of saliva from the mouth. And then there's posterior, which is when saliva drops down the back of the throat and into the airways. This can cause lung irritation called aspiration, which can lead to pneumonia. And some patients can have both.
The main cause of excessive drooling is usually some sort of brain abnormality or injury that causes the inability to manage normal swallowing of saliva.
A more common problem is not having enough saliva. The sciencey word for too little saliva is xerostomia. And it's no joke. I mean, dry mouth can lead to all sorts of negative things.
I mean, think back to all of the great functions of saliva that we described earlier. Without it, none of those things can occur. You're at higher risk for dental cavities, even tooth decay, having a sore, cracked tongue, and also a type of yeast infection in the mouth called thrush. Speaking and swallowing could also become quite challenging, and you may also have trouble tasting food.
All of those things sound terrible.
Yes.
Yeah. So who is at risk for xerostomia? Well, it's a common side effect of some medications for things like depression, high blood pressure, and some other conditions. It's also a common problem for those who have had radiation therapy on the head or the neck because that can permanently damage your salivary glands.
There's also an autoimmune disorder called Sjogren's syndrome. This is where your immune system attacks the glands that make moisture in your eyes, mouth, and other body parts. Other symptoms include joint and muscle pain, and the syndrome can also cause damage to your lungs, your kidneys, and your nervous system.
Sjogren's syndrome predominantly affects women in their 40s and 50s of all races and ethnicities. And it's not uncommon to also have other autoimmune conditions like rheumatoid arthritis or lupus.
Classic symptoms are dry eyes that burn, itch, or feel like you have sand in them. The mouth feels dry and chalky. You'll have potentially all of the problems that low saliva can bring, again, including increased risk of dental cavities, thrush, and others.
And people with Sjogren's can have other symptoms which can be severe. Symptoms like fatigue, acid reflux, vaginal dryness, sleeping issues, memory fog, and even shortness of breath.
And there's no diagnostic test for this yet, so it's diagnosed based primarily on symptoms. And unfortunately, like most other autoimmune diseases, there is no cure.
But there are some things that might alleviate your symptoms. They make artificial tears for dry eyes, and they make artificial saliva for dry mouth. I mean, the artificial tears you hear about all the time, but I never knew that they made artificial saliva.
Well, if you don't have a problem with dry mouth, I mean, why would you even think about it?
Right. Yeah. They also give antifungal meds that can treat symptoms of thrush. Additionally, steroid injections and minor surgical procedures may be options if you have severe cases of dry mouth, but it's a pretty terrible condition that needs much better treatment options.
One source called the researchers and scientists working to create these improved treatments, the Salivation Army.
That is an amazing name.
This, quote, army is working on improved artificial saliva to keep mouths wet and protected. New drugs to help saliva flow more freely, and even gene therapy to repair damaged salivary glands. They're also trying to build artificial glands that could potentially be implanted in the mouth.
Wow.
I know.
That's amazing.
Another problem that can occur are stones in the ducts that can obstruct saliva flow from the salivary glands. These stones are called sialoliths. Common symptoms include swelling, pain, and infection.
If you have any of these stones, small ones may be removed by either squeezing them out by hand or by making a small cut in the opening to the duct. If the stones are large, though, they may need surgery to be removed, and usually an ear, nose, and throat specialist would do it. Once the stones are gone, the gland almost always recovers, so that's good news.
Yeah. And, you know, salivary glands can even become infected sometimes by these stones, sometimes for some other reason. But I've actually seen at least two cases of infection of the parotid glands called peritonitis in the hospital that I work at.
Really?
Yeah. One patient looked like they had like a lemon just in their cheek.
Oh,
my gosh.
And
it looked so painful, and they said it was very uncomfortable.
Wow. Did they just drain it or?
I believe they drained it and were on antibiotics.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, with the exception of Sjogren's, most problems with saliva and salivary glands can be treated fairly easily. But do not ignore the symptoms and see your healthcare provider if you experience any of the things we talked about. And you know, your dentist might even notice a problem before you even realize there's an issue.
That's a good point. All right, Susan, what's the bottom line on saliva? What is so great about saliva?
Really? The bottom line is that spit is absolutely incredible. It has so many important functions that we mentioned, and we really should appreciate it more.
And to keep your salivary system healthy, remember, drink plenty of water, don't smoke, and practice good oral hygiene. So brush and floss regularly.
Always good advice. Well, that is it for our deep dive into our amazing secretion, saliva. Thanks for joining us today.
Join us next time when we will answer the question, is ghee better than butter?
Class dismissed.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. You can find the show notes and a list of sources on our website, yournutritionprofs.com.
Your homework is to follow us at Your Nutrition Profs on Instagram and to listen to our next episode. You can listen on Amazon Prime, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are found. We'd appreciate it if you'd like us, write a review, subscribe, and invite your family and friends to join us too.
If you have a nutrition or health question you'd like answered, let us know. We may do a show about it. Send an email to yournutritionprofs@gmail.com or click on the Contact Us page on our website.
Thanks to Brian Pittman for creating our artwork. You can find him on Instagram at BrianPittman77.
See you next time.